Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and checking us out this week. And why don't we just jump right into the action, Rodrigo?
No.
Oh, okay.
First, we're going to play a game.
Okay. Yay.
This game is called Tell Me Your Race and Class and Paragon Path, etc. Features.
Oh.
Paragon Path features.
Yes.
So I'm an Eldrin.
Uh-huh.
I'm a Arcanist, I guess is the technical. And then for my Paragon Path, I've got Wizard of the Spiral Tower. And my features are the One Sword, Corlon's Implement, which is the Wand of Accuracy. A Spiral Tower action, Shape the Dream, Radiant, what is that? Radiant Gen Sir?
Yeah, what does Spiral Tower action do?
So the Spiral Tower action, you can spend an action point to regain the use of one wizard encounter attack power that you've already used during the encounter instead of taking an extra action.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's really useful if something really totally bombed and I just want to regain it back. Or something like the One Sword, if it's already expended, I could bring it back and try to use it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned Radiant Censure, and the last one is Corlon's Blade.
So what does Radiant Censure do?
Radiant Censure does, when an enemy attacks your will, the enemy takes radiant damage equal to your charisma modifier, minimum of 1 point of damage. And my current charisma modifier, let's see, that says a plus 11, but that can't be right.
No, it's one.
It's one. So there you go.
So anytime something attacks your will, you deal one damage to it?
Yep.
That's cool. What about your class features?
My class features. So we've got Chameleon's Mask, Disrupt Undead, which, you know,
those are your cantrips.
Yep. We've also got, I'm just running down everything that I have listed as class features. Ghost Sound, Light, Mage Hand, Prestidigitation, Spook, Whispering Wind. Then we have Arcane Implement Mastery, which is Wand of Accuracy. The Arcanist Ritual Casting, Arcanist Spellbook, my cantrips, and of course the Wand of Accuracy, which we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Aurum.
Okay. Sounds good. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Okay.
I am a Kenku, which gives me a few abilities. Most notably, I get a plus 3 bonus when I'm flanking to hit, as opposed to just the normal plus 2. And I have mimicry, which lets me imitate voices and other sounds. I am an Artful Dodger Rogue, which gives me the general rogue abilities, such as I've got combat advantage at the start of an encounter against creatures that haven't acted yet. And whenever I have combat advantage, I get to deal extra sneak attack damage, which is going to go up next level, which is very exciting. And I'm specifically an Artful Dodger, which means that I get to add my charisma mod to my AC against opportunity attacks, which just means that when I provoke attacks of opportunity, Rodrigo crits me. And my Paragon Path is Jack of All Trades, which gives me a plus 2 bonus to all skill checks and training in 3 additional skills, and has the less than exciting, mostly good in skill challenges, action point ability, whereas when I spend an action point, I get a plus 5 bonus to skill checks until the end of my turn.
I mean, that's definitely something that's pretty relevant in skill challenges.
Yeah, I've just got the Nambo right now, where I've got that plus the thing that gives me temp hit points when I'm in combat. So I guess it just means that my action point is useful whenever I use it.
Now you have the rogue weapon talent with daggers and shuriken,
yes.
Right?
Yes. So I get a bonus to attack when I'm using light weapons. Where is that calculated? It's somewhere here. Yeah, plus one to attack with light weapons.
With daggers, so, yeah.
Yeah, with daggers.
The shuriken, if you use shuriken, they go up to a d6 damage instead of a d4 or whatever. Or you can use a dagger for a d4 damage, but you get a plus one to hit.
Yep.
Is the trade there.
As I'm a melee rogue, so I use that.
All right. Sounds good. Who's next?
I'm your Huckleberry.
Okay.
All right. So my racial features.
Mm-hmm.
Mechanically, I guess I'm a Vryloka.
Yeah.
Which is to say that we've created a half vampire kind of thing. So racial features include the blood dependency, healing surge value drops by two when bloodied. And I have been doing that. Thank you very much. I remember that one every time. Plus five racial bonus, human heritage. Bluff checks made to pass as human. So about 35 episodes ago, we used that, and people were like, wait, how did he do that?
That's what that was.
Yep.
I think that might have been what tipped off Sam, too.
Yep, yeah. That was. I figured it out. It was only when you were doing stuff that could be construed as human that you were getting that bonus, which made me know that you weren't human, which made me know that you were something that got a bonus to pretending to be human, which is a pretty narrow thing.
She didn't know you were Electroid, so anytime you pretended to be human, it worked out.
I'm a red Electroid, too, so it's okay. Living dead, which means that if you ever hit me with a power, and this has never happened, that has different effects on a living creature or an undead creature, I choose which effect applies to Sakaar.
Okay.
Have lifeblood feature, which gives the lifeblood utility power, which is actually not a terrible power. Basically, I can hurt somebody. I can shift. I can gain 10 hit points, or I can get a power bonus on attack rolls when I bloody an enemy. Have not been using that. Necrotic resistance, which we've run into a lot, basically 5 plus 1 half my level, and vampiric heritage grants a utility power after first level, so I have a Vryloka utility power of the same level. I'm not sure which one that is, but I'm sure it comes up. I think it may be Savor the Black Blood, now that I think of it, which I've also never used. Class features? Fawn of Life allows me to roll my saving throw or roll a saving throw at the beginning of a turn rather than waiting to the end. Guardian Might gives me a Guardian Might option in my shifty forms, I believe.
So Guardian Might is your big archetype as a warden. So you chose Wild Blood.
Mm-hmm.
So Wild Blood allows you to use your wisdom instead of your dexterity or intelligence for defense, and I think it does at least one other thing.
Which is good, because my intelligence is not really all that awesome. Thanks. Wisdom modifier to AC instead of dex or intellect. When I use second wind, marked enemies take a penalty to attack me. Night Strider, when charging a creature that I can see, I am phasing during the movement of the charge. Likewise, Hunter of Two Worlds allows me to lose a healing surge and phase during a move action if I use that move action in place of a standard action. So in a desperate situation, I can walk through walls. Tainted Predator gives me the Tainted Predator power and also sticks the Soft Cell song in my head, which is fine. the Tainted Predator power. Until the end of the encounter, melee attacks that hit deal ongoing 5 necrotic and poison damage. So I can. That's a new one. We haven't used that yet.
Yeah, I think you picked that up in the interim.
Yep, that just came around. And then I have the Savor the Black Blood power that allows me to killify somebody and give them a little extra damage just to be a jerk. And summon the Shadow Pack, which allows me to summon our strange archetypical wolves, which may be lizards or maybe something else entirely.
Those guys are great. Big fan.
I call them the snake wolves. But we don't use them near enough, I think. You should remind me to call on the snake wolves.
I will.
All right.
The snake wolves and the clockroaches are my best friends.
I love that name.
That's that's the point of the exercise here.
Yep. And we were talking about... I still haven't decided what my Paragon path is. We're having an argument between utility and theme.
You mean your
Epic Destiny? I think you're talking about Epic Destiny.
My Epic Density? Okay.
Yeah, your Paragon path is nocturnal. And by the way, there is one more thing that your Paragon path does, which is Nocturnal Frenzy. When you spend an action point to use an Adwell attack power that hits at least one target, you can charge as a free action.
Hey, there it is. Under action point, at will attack.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird place for it.
Yeah, definitely. Especially as we're getting back into this, make sure you have your action point cards handy because, you know, it's a big deal to get an action point, but the majority of you have some sort of bonus that triggers on an action point, except for Orym, although you might have actually picked one up somewhere else.
No, I don't.
Yeah, Orym just kind of has the ability to retrieve an encounter power, which, you know, I think to this day, you know, 15 years into Critical Hit, I'm still on the fence as to whether that's worthwhile over taking an action, but yeah. I'm sure there's a moment where it is.
I think I've only used that action like once or twice in the entire campaign.
That one time justified it all.
An extra action is just so much beef for your buck, you know?
Right, especially when we use most of our action points, or at least I have, in skills challenges. So,
Yeah, there's that. All right. Is that everything?
That is everything listed under my class and racial features. I got some stuff under feats, but I don't think those are features.
We'll do feats
later. Even though feat is short for features.
All right. Who's next?
Sure.
All right. Let's do Cat.
All right. Half-elf gives me bonuses to diplomacy and insight, which are already calculated in a group diplomacy bonus, so everybody within 10 squares of me gets a racial bonus to diplomacy checks, which hasn't been relevant anytime soon or recently.
Mm-hmm.
Will probably be relevant soon.
Sure.
And then the half-elf power selection, I have Dilettante, which gave me a first level at-will attack power from a class other than mine that I can use as an encounter power.
Yeah.
Which...
And you have a feat that modifies that, right?
And I have a feat that modifies that lets me use it at will instead.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the... Where is it?
Versatile Master?
Versatile Master is the one that actually lets me use it multiple times. I was trying to figure out which power it was.
Oh, it's your bird magic power.
Yeah.
Do you not have it? Claws of the Eagle?
I should. It's on there. It's on my character sheet. It's just not in the. The builder has more actual information, and there it is.
Yeah.
But the way the powers are separated in the little thing under the character is just a giant list.
Yeah, I have you down for Claws of the Eagle. That's right. Right.
Yep.
Okay.
And then on top of common, I get an extra language, which is primordial, which is relevant because some of my feats.
Okay.
For my class, as a warlock, I get Eldritch Blast, which I have selected Eldritch Strike instead, which lets me use basically Eldritch Blast as a weapon attack instead of a ranged attack, and I use my Constitution for. I have an Eldritch Pact, which is the Vestige Pact, and I have a feat that gives me a second one, which is the Infernal Pact. Within the pact, you get a pact boon and a basic attack power. The Infernal Pact boon, I can get temporary hit points whenever someone is cursed dies. The Vestige Pact boon is all over the place.
Yeah.
Because I like doing that sort of thing.
Yep.
Let's see. I thought that was earlier in here. That must be after. I get Curse, which is part of the pact. I get to put the Warlock's Curse. I get to put a curse on the closest enemy, which is currently the two closest enemies because of feats. That let me do extra damage. I have Shadow Walk, which is during my turn, if I've moved at least 3 squares from where I started. Excuse me, if I move 3 or more squares away from where I've started, I gain partial concealment until the end of my next turn. And I have the most useless cast power ever, which is Prime Shot. That lets me get a
your contempt for prime shot is well documented. Yeah.
Look, it's just an incentive for you to get into melee where you don't want to be.
Exactly. Fight.
It incentivizes me to get in front of the melee people.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Look, you're con based. Tank with your face.
It has come up. I prefer to see it as a bonus for when a monster closes on you and you're like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Oh, wait, I can get a plus one to hit and then whiff anyway because you're a warlock.
Yeah. I think that's all of it for the class features. Yeah. And then I have the Paragon Path God Fragment, which on top of giving me 3 powers, it gives me life-giving action, which is when I spend my action point, I regain hit points equal to my level. Road to Reawakening, I have a +3 bonus to death saving throws. I kind of forgot about that one, but that's mostly because...
It doesn't come up very often.
Yeah, I don't think I've had death saving throws.
That's the point of the exercise, is to remember all the little niche things that we have kicking around.
And then Dormant Power from 16th level. When I use a Warlock power against a creature and score a critical hit, the attack deals 2d10 extra damage.
Ooh. All right, is that everything?
Race and class features, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, I got a couple other things under my action point, but those are from other abilities.
Sure. Okay. Just be aware of them, I guess.
Yeah. It would require me spending an action point outside of a skills challenge.
Mm-hmm. All right. Last but not least.
Yes, is Randus. He's a perfectly normal, average, garden variety human.
Mm-hmm.
As such, he is considered an elemental creature, as your typical human would be. He has 10 psychic resistance, +1 bonus to will, and through no fault of his own, the void assumption power, which lets him not exist for a turn and come back somewhat relatively around there. He is an artificer. As such, he is granted a number of abilities, including arcane empowerment, which I get 1 per day with an additional 1 granted every milestone. And with that, I can either impart energy, which I can recharge a spent daily power of a magic item. An item can only be recharged once per day in that way. I can also augment energy, which grants the floating +2 on a particular item that the wielder of that item can spend after the roll as a free action after making an attack roll or expending a reservoir energy to gain +2 bonus to the attack roll. I have arcane rejuvenation. So before combat, an artificer spends time infusing his or her allies' magic items with curative energy. And as such, when they spend a magic item's daily power, they absorb the energy and get back hit points equal to half my level plus intelligence modifier. So 17 hit points, temporary hit points there. Also got my healing infusions, which are predominantly used for the curative admixture, which is the healing, my main healing ability that I can do 3 times per encounter. I also have the option of granting a temporary... forget what the actual other option is, because...
It gives you a defense bonus.
Defense bonus that they
and
can...
And as a free action, they can spend it to gain temporary hit points equal to whatever you would normally heal them for with the other one.
Yes. Well, not exactly, but... Yes, they can get temporary hit points equal to their healing surge value plus twice my con mod, which probably still better off just with the healing because of the feat bonus I get on my artificer healing powers.
But defense bonus.
But defense bonus.
So that is an option that we might be able to utilize more often, but healing is usually a priority. Also as Artificer, I am a ritual caster, and I have a ritual book with several rituals that I know and can cast. I can use specific rod, staffs, and wand implements, and that's generally it for the Artificer.
Mm-hmm.
Paragon Path, I am a self-forged. That does grant me a Battle Fist, D8 base mace weapon, +3 proficiency bonus. I can enchant it or disenchant it or whatever to power it up as need be.
Mm-hmm.
I do get a fortifying action, which when I spend a when I spend an action point, I take an extra action. To take an extra action, I gain temporary hit points equal to 5 plus half my level, so 15 right now. I got supporting construction, which gives me a +2 bonus to saving throws against ongoing damage, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I have added resilience, which whenever I make a death saving throw, I can take the better of my die roll or 10, which is excellent.
Yeah.
More metal than flesh. I can attach and embed components into myself as if I were a warforged. The powers I get is Battle Fist Smash, does 3 weapon damage, and I can push the creature some number of squares and even farther because I got the resounding ability on my Battle Fist if I should spend it. I have a daily utility power called Self-Repair, which I can regain hit points equal to twice my Healing Surge value without spending a Healing Surge. And I have a new one, which I have yet to use, called Flailing Gauntlet, which is a daily attack range, or a melee 2 attack. And my Battle Fist hand must be free. It's a 4-weapon hit, or half damage on a miss, and with an effect of my Battle Fist gains the reach property until the end of the encounter. So that sounds fun.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that one. I think that's all those.
All right. Sounds good. Anybody got any questions while we're here? I will take that as a no.
Yes, no.
Yes, no.
Yes,
no. No, yes.
All right. So, last time...
On critical hit.
What did happen last time on critical hit?
Spiders. Oh, so many spiders. So many spiders.
Fire and spiders.
And fire.
Spiders and fire.
Cleansing fire. Gentlemen.
Decontaminating fire.
You weren't the one being set on fire.
You know, I was one of the people being set on fire, and it was actually quite invigorating.
You set yourself on fire. That barely counts.
Can any of us not handle being set on fire?
Me.
I mean, you've all got lots of hit points.
We can all handle being set on fire.
Well, we do.
Depends on how much fire.
Yeah, it really does. Like, I don't think Ket's fire resistance is all that great, for example.
No, it really isn't. I actually have way more cold.
Let's find out.
Well, we just might.
Of lighting each other.
So, where are you guys now? What's happening?
Well, I think we've determined that we've successfully decontaminated the ship, and then we're going to head back to base.
Okay. So we will just pick up at the group arriving back at base. There is a large contingent of people waiting for them, which includes Pistonella, who seems distraught at the fact that the ship seems so damaged.
There was an incident.
We had a run-in with the drow.
The drow did this?
Yes. Indirectly in some cases, but yes.
They threw spiders on the ship. it took a long time to make sure there weren't any more spiders. And even so, I double checked to make sure there aren't any more spiders.
Oh, okay.
There were a lot of spiders.
Well, I guess I have to get in here and fix things, so I'll take a crew.
Okay.
We apologize for the damages.
Oh, it's okay. That's something to do. And she grabs some engineer types and some soldier types and goes below decks. But you guys can disembark. Sarsa's there and Pixo's there.
Yes. Question. Pixo, what did you have that was so important that we had to come in and get you right away? Did you have some information for us?
I have some charts.
Ah, and what would be on these charts?
Oh, locations of secret places.
Ooh, what kind of secret places?
Oh, you know, the homes of sleeping gods.
Yes.
Weapon cache type places.
Worms are his hands together.
Potentially god turtle type things.
What?
I mean, who knows? You know, god turtles.
Okay.
They're like islands, but they're alive.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So, will you be ready to brief everyone soon?
No, not really. I mean, I just got these.
All right. Well, time is kind of the essence, and we kind of need to make plans where some of these gods might be at. And
well, maybe you should cross-reference your notes with Barrett's, and we can kind of go from there.
Sounds good. I'm going to get off the ship, get something to eat, check myself for wounds.
That also sounds like a good idea.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I guess we should go get cleaned up too, looking at Kit and Sakaar.
Yeah.
What?
Seems reasonable.
Well, definitely Randus and Sakaar.
Yes.
Yeah. We were on fire. Yes, I suppose you're right.
I wasn't even on fire, but I did get bit by so many spiders.
As always, fire is available on request.
No, I'm good. Thanks, though.
All right. So do we have official quarters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like a barrack situation.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Let's go there and be less...
gross.
Well, we were dipped in spider goop and then lit on fire, so it's probably now hardened spider goop.
Ugh, it's like caramelized. You're like a spider brulee.
That's so gross. And yet vaguely delicious sounding.
No.
I'd try it.
It's a lot of protein.
It's French. I mean, it's like chocolate-covered crickets. All right. Yes, we should return, and we should fix our voluminous and glorious sideburns so that they are no longer misshapen.
Okay.
At some point, Sarsa is here, correct?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, is there a document that explains what happened to Shalai when the drow arrived?
Are you asking her?
Yes.
We don't have a lot of written reports, but we can try and find you some.
Okay, or pods of casting or whatever that you may have would be appreciated. And what happened perhaps to the Eladrin that were displaced from the area?
Right. Although I will point out, Stephen, that you might actually know what happened to a lot of those Eladrin.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm more concerned about the magic school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll try to find you some information.
Great. Thank you so much.
Was there a magic school?
Yeah. I say by the time we were done in the city, I don't know that the magic school was even a...
Oh, believe me.
No, you guys didn't destroy the whole magic school.
Not yet, anyway.
You just caused lots of structural damage.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. After the drow moved in next door, they might as well abandon it.
Yeah, they didn't even move in next door. They moved in to that district.
Yep.
Yeah. Lots of structural damage could actually be
literally next door to the university.
Yeah, literally next door, sure.
Our team name.
What?
Lots of structural damage. I mean, that could be the subheader for most of our seasons.
Yep. So,
we're going to go take some rests.
Yeah, you guys definitely, I mean, you can definitely
take a...
Of the
long variety.
Yeah, you can take a long rest.
Cool.
Those are good. Do those restore our hit points?
Yeah. Yes. So when you,
When you take an extended rest,
it resets your hit points to your maximum. It resets your action points to one. Mm-hmm. It resets all of your daily and encounter powers and obviously utility powers as well to being unused.
And we gain an action point each milestone.
That is correct, but that is not what's happening here. It, in fact, resets your milestones as well.
Yeah.
Aww.
Technically, we did already have one from a milestone. But
yes, you had just reached a milestone, and now that goes away.
But then we get one back, so...
Yeah.
So we lose it, but we gain it.
Yes.
That's right. It resets it to one, whatever number it was.
Can it be more than one? It can't be more than one.
You can have more than one action point, but you can only use one action point per encounter. So you're encouraged to use an action point if you have it. There have been times when random players in this game have had two action points just because they don't get around to using it in like a skills challenge, and then there's a fight, and they don't use it, and you know, walk out of there with two action points. But it's happened before. All right, so you all get some rest, we'll say Orym, since he spends the least amount of time sleeping, while he is, he spends some time meditating, and then as he starts to go about his business, a strange thing happens.
Uh-oh.
There is a flash of light, not blinding or anything, but very noticeable, right in front of his face. And there, in front of him, is a large, well, not too large. It's just like a, it's an envelope. It's a pretty much a square envelope. It is made out of fine white paper and has a symbol that appears to be a gear rising as though the gear was the sun and there was like a horizon line. So it's kind of like a gear sunrise.
Oh, okay. I take it.
Okay.
And I open it up. Yes.
Okay. It says... Orym Revendorn, Lady Arathis requests the honor of your presence at a referendum on the Treaty of Worms. You and one guest may sign in the line below. You will then be shuttled to Umber Island at 1200 hours.
Okay, how much time is that?
About 12 hours.
Okay. So myself and one guest, and I'm being summoned to the Treaty of Worms. All right.
Which guest?
Well, I'm going to have to wait for the rest of you to wake up, but I have an idea of who I would like to accompany me.
Do you want sneaky, fighty, smart, or talky?
Sneaky, fighty, smart, or talky.
That kind of describes the same
That's just a little sparkle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm sad. You know what? I'm going to find a specialty that none of you know how to do.
Yeah, you do. It's called talking to spirits.
You're setting yourself on fire.
Yeah, you're planty.
Planty?
You're jumpy guy.
I'll be bitey guy if you're not careful.
You want planty, explodey.
explodey.
Creepy.
Which one's explodey?
Yeah, plant. Yeah. All right.
Planty,
anyway.
Explodey, no longer there-y.
That's true. You want explodey, 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 or... stabby. Anyway,
together-y.
Randus is awakened by a flash of light. Yeah. There is an envelope floating above your head. It has the same symbol that I described.
Poke it.
Okay, it like falls onto your face when you poke it.
Okay, I kind of look it over and I guess open it up.
Okay. Same deal, except it says, Randus Duthane, Lady Arathis requests the honor of your presence at a referendum on the Treaty of Worms. You and a guest may sign the line below. You will then be shuttled to Umber Island at 1200 hours.
Okay. What time is it?
It is 0 hours.
We probably hadn't gotten a lot of sleep yet, huh?
No, you've gotten enough sleep.
I guess I'll go knock on Ket's door.
Okay.
Orm is standing there. Hey, Randus. Did you get a... Holds up an envelope.
Yeah, I did.
You get to take one guess, too?
Yeah.
Huh. We both knock on Ket's door.
Yeah, so Ket's woken up by a flash of light as well.
Same envelope.
Yep.
Same information.
Yep.
Open the door as Orm knocks.
Also a plus one.
Yes, also with a plus one, yes.
Oh no, I think that was Randus asking Ket as soon as the door opened. Hello, Ket.
Evening, guys.
Are you looking for a plus one?
Well, I was about to
hold up an envelope.
Gonna check to see if anybody else got one as well.
Well, we did, which would make sense since we were all present.
Well, who's yours from?
Arathis.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Same.
It's interesting. Yes, okay. The Arathis. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should see if the other two received anything. I'm going to bet no.
I guess that's a good bet.
Go over to Little Sparkle's door. Knock on the door.
Oh, go to Sakaar's.
All right. Little Sparkle is woken up by a knock.
Little Sparkle, it's Orm. Mm. Are you awake?
She opens the door, having like clearly jumped out of bed, like with a dagger in hand, and like starts putting it away.
It's like, it's me, Orm.
Yeah. What's up?
Something has happened.
Oh, okay. What happened?
Can you open the door so we can all talk out here?
Oh, yeah. One sec.
And then the Sakaar's open. Sakaar's woken up by a knock.
Yes.
Hey, Sakaar. I guess we got a bit of a situation. You want to come out so we can discuss our options?
Yes, of course. Just one moment. Sakaar puts on some pants.
But you don't have sleeping pants?
I mean, he prefers to sleep in the pants. Nude.
We're not savages here. I have a sleep shirt. Nonetheless, okay, Sakaar comes out.
So we, the three of us, received a letter from Lady Arathis summoning us to a discussion on the Treaty of Worms.
Alone?
Well, we're allowed to each bring a guest, but I'm guessing since you were not part of the last incident, that you probably did not receive anything.
There's no reason for us to have been summoned guests.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't really even know who Arathis is. So, never mind. I got the briefing from Ket. So, she's the goddess of civilization? Cities?
Yeah, cities, civilization.
Cool.
So, I guess we need to figure out who we want to be our plus ones, and since there seems to be one left over, we need to figure out if there's someone else we need to bring with us.
Well, does it indicate probably also what see if type of meeting?
I show him the letter.
Huh. Doesn't say much.
Cool. Say it's not clear if this is the big meeting or if this is just her requesting our presence.
I guess we could talk to Zarza, see if she's got a... She wants to come personally or has a agent she think would be particularly suited for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking her or maybe even...
Salath?
Pixo?
Yeah.
I don't think Pixo's the right person for this.
Well, it depends on what the nature of the meeting is, but definitely Sarsa would be the top pick. We should go talk with her, and then we need to get some signatures on these papers before time runs out.
A good question to ask ourselves is what skills do the five of us lack that might be useful in this unknown situation?
Common sense.
Well, other than that.
So we go to seek out Sarsa.
Sarsa.
Mm-hmm. It's midnight.
As you are... do you guys all just kind of in Spitfire formation go find her? Or are you like spreading yourselves out to go find her? Or
I don't. I mean,
yeah. Did she have like a? Do we know if she's got a base here or a rooming place here?
She didn't mention it, but she must somewhere.
Sure.
There's kind of that central like library building. You're pretty sure that has rooms, so maybe she's there.
Yeah, we'll go there.
I said, also, do we all need to go currently?
Yeah, why don't we all check in with our kind of respective people and
see if anybody else has gotten a summons.
Yeah, I would bet not, but people might have more information they can share and certainly would want to know about this development.
Yes, yeah. I can check how the boat repairs are going.
Yeah, I mean, that's where...
Pay
also
Salaf
midnight,
a bit.
So who knows?
Oh, it's midnight? Oh.
Yeah, that's the main reason.
Sorry, time seems weird here. All right, maybe...
I mean, that doesn't mean that people aren't up and about, necessarily.
Fair enough. Yeah, worth a shot.
They're NPCs. They just hang out in their little corner.
Just idling.
Yep. Yep.
Waiting for Fair. Instructions with a little diamond above their head.
It's like some people call this junk. Me, I call them treasures. Or whatever. I don't remember what the line is. So who's going where?
I'm going to go find Sarsa.
Okay.
So if I'll go to the docks.
I'll go with Randis.
I'll go check out Solith's place.
Okay.
Which one is Solith?
He's the spy master.
Okay, I'll go to the library.
Okay. So Little Sparkle goes to find Salath, and he is in his tower. It's fine. He is in his tower looking over some paperwork. He's at the base of the tower. He's not all the way at the top. When Little Sparkle walks in, he looks up from his papers and says, "Heard you had a little trouble."
Apparently the drow have a pretty tight control on Shalai, and they marched onto our boat like they were looking for something blatant, and we couldn't quite get them off before it turned ugly.
He motions for you to sit down across the table from him.
Yeah, she'll grab a seat.
Yeah. Did you get a read on Sarsa after that happened?
Not really, I guess. I mean, certainly seemed upset, but honestly, the next thing that happened was that she got knocked out by spiders that were on the ship. So that kind of took precedence over talking about the situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I only ask because Sarsa is a very well decorated strategist and general.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems strange to me that she would take our two greatest assets on such a quiet mission to go pick up our cartographer. It really seems like one of her agents could have done that and done it much more quietly.
So do you think she had a another agenda?
I think so. It really doesn't seem like her to spend such an overwhelming amount of resources on something like this. I mean, Pixo's important, but he's not necessarily... you guys weren't going to go fight a war and getting our fastest ship and the champions of legend altogether seems a little over the top.
Champions of legend. That's what you call those guys?
That's what I call all of you. And let me just clarify that it's about half ironic.
Why is that?
Well, I'm not entirely convinced that all of this stuff is going to work out, but I'm not the prophetic dead dragon god, so.
So if you... Ahead. I was going to say, if you had to guess, is it... Is she trying to make a point to us, make a point to the drow, or...
No, I think it was a test.
Of our ability to talk our way out of situations?
I think it... I don't know that she necessarily knew what exactly was going to happen, but I think she figured this would be an easy way to gauge your abilities.
Well, I hope we at least impressed her with our ability to dispatch spiders.
Mm-hmm. In any case, you should be mindful of Sarsa. She doesn't usually give people much. She doesn't. She's not going to make her opinions known very often unless they directly apply to the situation at hand. But getting a good read on her is going to be helpful. She is really strong, really intelligent, and has a lot riding on this.
Good to know. Well, we got the invite to the meeting of gods.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have anything on Arathis or anyone else who's likely to be there, we've got about 12 hours to prepare.
Well, all I have heard about Arathis is that those that have seen her say that she is not looking well, which is odd for a god. Gods don't get sick the way that us humanoids do.
Is it the same thing that killed Bahamut?
No. No, Bahamut, from what I understand, died of his wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Arathis wasn't wounded during that battle, so it's unlikely that it was that. It has to be something else.
Interesting. And problematic, since that kind of, if she's in bad shape, shifts the balance even further towards the Council of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything on the other players that, or their activities? Do you have any word on what happened with that battle between Asmodeus and Bahamut?
Oh, the attack on Drakistan?
Yeah.
I think it's still going.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, nobody's going to lay siege into Drakistan in a day.
Fair. That place was really impressive. I just didn't know what kind of firepower a god was using, but I guess it's probably commensurate with the defenses of another god, you know.
You would hope, anyway. I'll let you know if I hear anything.
All right. Sounds good. I'll be around. Thanks for the heads up. We're about Sarsa.
Oh, no problem. Oh, yeah. One more thing about Sarsa. Like I said, she's not going to give you a lot to go on. She's also not going to give you information that she doesn't think you need.
Will you?
Me? Information that I don't think you need? I'll tell you anything you ask me.
All right.
And how can I put this? Her motivation is usually to maintain the mission and control, but I'm more than happy to introduce facts into a conversation that are going to cause problems, hence me telling you that your handler is going to hide things from you.
Yeah, well, I'd rather know about the problems ahead of time, because that will at least prepare me for if... So, okay, I guess where do you think her priorities are? Her goddess is dead, or her god is dead. Is it just maintaining the stability of the universe?
No, she was given one last holy mission by her god. That is her priority.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have any similar structure in your life, but imagine pledging yourself to someone, to, you know, a general, or, you know, in this case, a god, and then that creature representing what you believe in physically, and then that creature tells you to go do something and then dies. Right now, I would imagine that as strong and dedicated as she is, she has one thing to hold on to, and that's the mission. So she's going to do everything in her power to make sure that mission comes to fruition.
And that means steering us where she wants us to go.
That means steering you where she wants you to go. That means making sure that you are all prepared for what she expects might happen, or I suppose for the unexpected as well. So it's there's nothing directly sinister about it, but you should know that if she thinks that a piece of information or anything else is going to jeopardize this mission, you are not going to hear it.
Good
to
know.
Not from her anyway.
Sure. All right. Thank you.
No problem.
Have a good night.
Oh, yes, thank you.
She'll stand up.
Yeah. All right, so Ket and Sakaar went to the docks. Or sorry, Randus and Sakaar went to the docks.
Yes. They're similar but different.
Yep. All right, you guys arrive at the docks. There is much hammering happening.
So they are hard at work.
Figured as such. Do we see Pistonella around, or?
You hear her from inside.
So we should go in and see what maybe we can do to help.
I am on board with seeing what you can do to help.
All right. Let's go see if we can lend a hand.
And how much damage we've actually done.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Keep an eye out for spiders.
We step aboard the ship which we ruined.
Okay. Well, you guys can find her pretty easily. She is...
The source of the banging noises.
Yeah, she is, in fact, fixing some panels on the inside of the ship. And when you walk in, she looks over at you and she waves, which drops the pan, like drops like part of the panel that she was holding up. And then she like picks it up and like goes back to hammering it.
How go the repairs?
They're coming along. You actually didn't do as much damage as I thought you had. This is a very tough ship, so should be ready to go here in a couple hours.
Oh, that's good. We kind of received a summons.
Oh.
Yeah. I presume that, you know, we'll have a ride there, but having an exit strategy in thing case things go right might not hurt.
Okay. Well, I mean, the ship's not going to be ready for a couple more hours.
That's
when are you going?
Around noon, we're supposed to be leaving.
Oh. And well, that should be fine then.
I presume to Shalai, but if... we end up elsewhere, we can probably get in touch.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah. So I figured, we'd see how things are going on here. Is there anything we can do to help with this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, just find something.
Okay. Yeah. I'll get to work here. And I'll see what I can do to start patching some holes and making any repairs or fixes or any mending here or there that might help.
Sounds good. What's the car doing?
Supervising.
All right.
Perfectly willing to hand heavy things over, but not particularly confident in the ability to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's always, heavy things to move or
hold up the sheet metal. Well,
yeah, the odd thing that needs to be welded.
Spiders to burn.
All right. So Ked goes to the library.
Yep.
Okay. Ked arrives at the library.
Anyone here?
Yep, Barrett's there, and a couple other dwarves are around, poring over tomes.
Barrett.
Hello.
We have received summons from Arathis.
Oh.
I'm actually going to show her the letter.
Mm-hmm. She looks at it, hands it back.
First off, do you think this is for the actual summit?
Oh, I would imagine so.
Okay. How much information do you guys have dug up that we'd be able to utilize for this?
For that? We've been compiling names of other gods.
Names
so,
of others, yeah.
Yeah.
None of which are probably available.
No. If those any of those who awaken will probably awaken after the summit.
Okay. Would a familiar count towards an issue with bringing them if it's not on the invite list? Specifically, I'll have Guy come out.
Yeah. Oh, wow, look at that thing. You know those things are evil, right?
Yeah, he's more neutral.
I don't think so, but whatever. You're the boss. I don't think that would count.
Okay. Didn't want to bring a being of celestial origin into a meeting without it being invited.
Mm-hmm. No, it should be all right. If anyone accosts you about it, as long as you have some sort of actual metaphysical bond to it, they should be able to ascertain that.
All right. Do you know if... Have we figured out that the Obsidian Huntress is the Raven Queen enough to directly be invited to this?
We haven't, but she is a goddess, so there's likely going to be an invitation there. And even if there isn't, you did just get an invite from a god, right?
That was the idea.
If she has thrown in with any of the other gods, and more than likely there's been a lot of partnerships already struck, she's likely going to have a seat at the table just by invite.
All right.
There is a flash of light in front of Ket.
Yeah.
And he sees an envelope floating in front of him.
Huh. Symbol on this one?
Say what?
The symbol on this one?
It appears to be a pentagram. It is a red pentagram on black paper.
Yep, knew that was coming.
Oh, yay. Open it up.
Okay. It says, Ket Hazard, Asmodeus, God of Tyranny and Admiral of the Peacekeeper Fleet, Request your presence at 1200 hours. You and one other creature may sign on the line below to attend. This is an optional event, and there will be no retribution sought for non-attendance, but tardiness will not be tolerated.
Awesome. I have 2+1s.
Barrett holds out her hand.
I'll show her the letter.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to accept both of these.
No.
But they might determine the seating chart.
That's a good point.
I mean,
it's a very good point.
Yeah, the Arathis has said that you'll be shuttled there. Very more than likely, this will also have something happen, and I don't know how you're going to be shuttled. You might actually consider not answering this one, because if they have some sort of knowing where you came from, then they would Asmodeus would immediately know this place.
Also a good point.
There's a possibility that this has almost nothing to do with Asmodeus himself, though. He might have just given some subordinate a name and they're just doing something else. His organization is very bureaucratic, so you might ride that, or you might want to go somewhere else and then accept the summons there. Just, you should know that all of those are possibilities.
I think I have an idea. Thank you. I am going to go look for Sparkle.
Okay. In the meantime, Orym goes to the other barracks, sort of where the staff stays, and he runs into Sarsa there.
Oh, hi, Sarsa. I was looking for you.
Hello.
I know it's only been a short amount of time, but I don't suppose you found any of that information that I had asked about?
No. I had to spend some time resting, and there's a lot of operations that have to be.
Oh, sure. No, I totally understand, especially after that crazy spider attack.
I did pass the note to Barrett, so you might want to speak to her about it.
Okay, I will definitely do that. So when this meeting occurs, I mean, do we know who's going to be asked to come to the meeting? I mean, do we have an idea?
I don't think so. We don't even really know how the invitations are going to be delivered or how you would even know.
Ah, well, I was curious. I mean, who on your team is probably best qualified to be at that meeting?
Well, I suppose any of my team would be useful in that meeting, but I would like to go if that's at all possible.
Oh, okay. And I mean, certainly you're the team leader. That would be certainly a consideration, but I didn't know if there was someone who might be best qualified to look at treaties and negotiations, etc.
I would like to go myself, if it's a possibility.
Okay. All right. We did get a kind of a summons.
You did?
Yeah, and we're able to bring some people with us.
She like rubs her forehead a little bit and looks back at you.
Yeah, and so that's why I was just asking who would be best qualified, because we have to confer and get things prepared.
Well, I suppose you can take any member of the team that you want, but I would like to go.
Okay. All right. I will pass that along to everyone else. Three of us received invitations, and, you know, we still have to figure out who our guests are going to be. But I would probably prepare to be taken as soon as the time comes.
What is the time?
It looks like in about 12 hours, or actually less than 12 hours.
Okay.
I'm still trying to find my way around here.
All right.
Okay. Well, we'll be in touch, I'm sure, within the hour.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Have a pleasant morning, I suppose.
Thanks. You too.
Okay. And I go wandering off to find Ket and Ket.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
Who did Kat said he was looking for now?
Sparkle.
Yeah. Kat and Kat finds little Sparkle as she's basically, he spots her leaving Salath's tower. And then just sort of off over there, you guys see Orym coming out of the other barracks.
Do I see them instantly?
Yep.
I'll wave and start hurrying over.
Wave back.
Oh, I'm glad I got both of you in the same situation. I talked with Sarsa, kind of let her know of the situation and asked if she knew of anyone who might be best qualified. And she said she would like to be the plus one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, it does.
I'm going to hold up my two envelopes.
What's that? Oh, when I see the symbol.
So I got two summons.
Huh. Same event? Or is it a pre-party?
Presumably the same event.
Yeah, the time is the same, so...
Same time probably confirms that this is the initial meeting that's destined to fail. Prophesized to fail.
Cool. Yeah.
But I got it while I was in the library talking to Barrett. She thinks I'm only able to use one of them. And it might determine where we actually seat amongst the.
Wow. I hate to be somebody that says, be careful, Kat, but certainly showing up with Asmodeus certainly indicates that you're siding with him. Not that there's anything wrong with that, I suppose, but. There might be others on the on this council that might have a problem with that, maybe, especially in light of what we saw as we were leaving Bahamut's fortress.
Well, I'm not saying it's siding with anyone. More, I and my guest might be set within... more of the Dark Council's people instead of with Arathis's.
Makes sense.
That might be a good idea that you say it that way to have an inside look on what they're thinking.
That's kind of what my thought was. And I was going to see if Sparkle thought the same.
So I'm torn on... One hand, might be best to put up a unified front. On the other, the chance for more intelligence is valuable. Does anyone else know that you have this envelope yet?
Just Barrett, and that's because it, you know, popped up while we were talking, so there's no hiding it.
So... The issue, if you accept, it could make yourself an enemy of Sarsa.
That could be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think she already somewhat mistrusts you because of your connections. And this would certainly, even if you couch it in what I think is a very reasonable term of trying to gather information on our opposition, she might not like it. And, that's probably not a best thing in our mission leader to start off on the wrong foot to that degree. On the other hand, rejecting the invitation is going to leave you in the dark and could possibly get you in trouble with your patron.
No, the letter explicitly states that it is not required.
What does it say?
I'll show Orym the actual letter.
Right. It says, Ket'Hazard, Asmodeus, God of Tyranny, and Admiral of the Peacekeeper Fleet, requests your presence at 1200 hours. You and one other creature may sign on the line below to attend. This is an optional event, and there will be no retribution sought for non-attendance, but tardiness will not be tolerated.
That's delightful.
You don't have to show up, but if you do, don't
be
late.
On time.
Yeah. Exactly.
Speaking of which, this isn't a passive aggressive attempt to
tyranny and punctuality.
Yep. Randus and Sakar can wander over.
Uh-huh. Are you sure this isn't a passive aggressive way of saying you're supposed to attend?
Oh, it most certainly is. But letter of the law, which is kind of big over there, the letter explicitly states attendance is not mandatory.
It also doesn't say what would happen if you don't attend under his name.
Wait, what is not mandatory?
It does not.
Huh.
Say anything about me attending under another god's name. Which leads me to believe that this is less personal.
It could just be that all, I don't know, beings of a certain power who have deals with Asmodeus got these invitations?
Basically.
Hmm. Oh, that's actually a really interesting question. If these invites are going out on a not entirely impersonal level, we might encounter Techiadol there under the banner of Grumsh.
You haven't by chance received a third invitation, have you, Ket?
Not yet.
Okay.
Ooh, from the Obsidian Huntress?
Yes. Well, so, hi. Yeah, Randus, hey. Hi. Hey, Sakar. So I went to talk to Sarsa, and she said she would very much like to be the plus one in our group.
Well,
Ket has received a second invitation from Asmodeus that seems to lean towards him attending on their behalf. Also with a plus one.
That not might be wise from an intelligence standpoint.
But as his guest.
Hmm.
As his invitee.
That would allow us to theoretically see and hear more of the situation if we presume that there is going to be an adversarial relationship.
Yeah, it also sets up a possibility of a problem where neither side will trust us because they know that we're working together. So it kind of shows our hands if we're sitting on opposite sides of the table. Seems unlikely that we're not going to compare notes.
What did Barrett say?
Mostly she just warned that if I did use this, I probably want to use this sign it, not here.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That way it can't be tracked back to here.
I'll talk to Pistonella, and the boat should be ready to go in a couple hours. I had floated the idea of there being on ready for a possible bug out contingency. But that'd probably be a good idea to put you elsewhere.
So what do we want to do? We need to make a decision because Worm looks at the sky. Time is running out.
I imagine it's maybe been an hour since we've gotten the letters.
No, it's been longer. You guys have been walking around and talking to people and fixing boats, so.
three hours.
Yeah, it's been at least a couple hours.
Anyway.
Also, you all realize you're starving.
Well, let's go get some food and consider.
Yeah, agreed. Food. Good idea.
All right, food, a good idea. Sounds like a good place to stop this week. Thanks so much for downloading and listening and checking us out. If you're looking for character sheets for these characters, head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. That's where you can find them. If you have questions, podcast@majorspoilers.com. And until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.